about.
Okay, come on, come on. Let's concentrate. Let's go again. We're still rolling. Come on. Okay, going again, and action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
What's my stance on 9/11?
Anti. It was a tragedy. I mean, we lost 19 of our best guys.
Huh?
That was a joke, obviously. 9/11 was a terrible tragedy. And it's not funny to joke about it.
Oh, a couple of dopers, huh?
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
He asked a girl to strip naked and fondle herself.
I will admit, I wasn't expecting that.
And now.
When does it start?
This is the pre-entertainment. It's important to set a tone for the audience.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 2nd of October. Hey, kids.
How about that?
How's everybody?
All right. You?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Effing terrible. Had a very hilarious story lined up to go today. Had some wacky Rocktober comedy prepared to go today. But I need some help here, you guys. I need some coping mechanisms here. Kevin, you're the smart one on the show. Help
me
out
here. Take it easy.
For folks who don't know, it's funny. I have alerts on my phone, as many of us do these days, and I don't have the sound up on the overnight, but the phone does light if a text comes in or a notification comes in. And like 10 times it seemed like my phone was lit up all night long over the last few hours or something like that. And I had no idea what it was, didn't look at it. Woke up this morning and it's just, headline after headline after headline as the situation was unfolding in Las Vegas. And I wasn't this was the weird thing. I was surprised to see so many notifications. I wasn't the tiniest bit shocked by the news. Not even the tiniest bit. I didn't look at it and go, oh, my God, that was unexpected. Oh, my God, who could have seen that coming? Because it's a matter of days at the outside, weeks in between mass shootings in this country. And that it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't surprised either. I mean, it's shocking in that it happened, but it's,
But it's not shocking.
It isn't anymore. Yeah.
It's completely predictable.
Yeah.
And I know that you shouldn't stress over things that you have no control over. And that is a great lesson. That is one of the most difficult lessons in the world to learn, is you have to be able to put things away that you don't have any control over. And I totally get that. But I just feel like, and I know I've said this before, but I just feel like as a country, we have just all shrugged our shoulders and we've just said, this is completely acceptable. This is just how it is. This is the way we're going to live, period. We're not doing anything. Nothing will happen today or in the weeks to come that will prevent this exact same thing from happening again. Now, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe there is nothing that can be done. But I feel like we've even given up on trying. I was thinking, this is like you have a giant, this may be a dumb analogy, but this is the first thing I thought of this morning. You've got an enormous sinkhole in your backyard. And every couple of days, people fall into it and die. And we're all standing around the edge of it going, well, it's too bad we got that big hole in our yard, but I guess we can't do anything about it. And somebody will say, hey, maybe we ought to fill it in. And a bunch of other people say, no, you can't fill it in. Well, let's put a bridge over it at least so people have something to stand on. Nope, not able to do that either. So what are we going to do? Nothing. Could we put a tarp over it? Nope, nothing. Got to leave it. Got to have the big hole in the backyard so that people keep falling into it. That's what I feel like this is all about. I mean, look, we don't know anything about this jackhole, this 64-year-old guy who apparently is a lone shooter. We don't know anything about him. But
tell people who are just waking up and didn't see it yet.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Kevin. That's a good point. Country Music Festival in its fourth year on the Las Vegas Strip. There's a 15-acre lot across from the Mandalay Bay. And three-day festival, I think, a bunch of big names. Last night was Jason Aldean. He was on stage. He's a huge country music star. He was on stage at the time of the shooting. And a gunman is on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay with just a ton of guns. And at this point, by the way, we have no idea whether these guns are legal or not. It doesn't matter. Nevada, by the way, has no – it's completely legal to carry assault rifles in Las Vegas. There's no no limit on magazine capacity. You can have as many guns as you want. I'm not sure. They may be the laxest state in the union on licensing altogether. I don't even think you need a permit to get a gun in Nevada. So anyway, we don't have any idea whether his guns are legal. Most of these mass shootings, the guns are legal, by the way. So even if you put tons of restrictions on people, people still get them, right? So he starts shooting, and he shoots for about 5 minutes. And as of now, there are at least 50 people dead and over 200 people wounded. It was shooting fish in a barrel. Just boom, 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 one right after another. And the gunman has been – he has been killed. For a while, they were looking for a person of interest, a woman that he was with. Then later in the morning, it became – she became identified as a girlfriend. And the last thing I heard is that she's a wife. So I assume she's got to know something, right?
I would hope so, yeah.
I would think she'd have some sort of background on this. But, you know, go online and every single trending topic almost right now on social media is some variation of thoughts and prayers. And the president tweets out his warm condolences. But that's our response. That's all we're doing is thoughts and prayers. And how helpful is that? Does it mean anything? Is it a waste of time? Is it an insult at this point to wake up today and go, hey, thoughts and prayers, pray for Las Vegas?
I don't know. You do see that a lot. You hope that somebody tries to do something as well as tweet or Instagram that, right? Like that's not all they do.
But because that's all we're doing.
Yeah, but you don't know that. I mean,
who else is doing anything to stop the next one?
Well, if you're talking about gun laws and all that kind of stuff, that gets much more complex. That is true. That gets much more complex. But I'm saying, you know, if you're saying thoughts and prayers for Puerto Rico and you're not doing anything for Puerto Rico,
right,
then that is not helpful.
I 100% agree. And by the way, that's a great analogy because you literally can do something for Puerto Rico.
Right.
That is something that is in control. And maybe, Kevin, that's the answer to my question out of the gate, which is how do you cope with something like this? Maybe you don't just avoid thinking about the stuff you can't control. Maybe you work harder to try to control, you know, to try to make a positive impact in ways that you can. Maybe that's the balance.
I mean, I think it's the only way to move on. When you see something like Puerto Rico and now Las Vegas, you just look at it and you just say, that's too much. That's overwhelming me and I don't know how to deal with that.
That's how I feel this morning. I feel overwhelmed.
And part of that is give it a little bit of time and then do what you can. I don't know what you can do in Las Vegas, though. This is a weird one. This is not a natural disaster.
Yes, but yeah, but again, I feel like we do as much to prevent these as we do to prevent earthquakes, which is to say, oh, it sucks when they happen. You know what I mean? But there's going to be another one. And by the way, here's a PS too. What about all these people? And you probably haven't seen this yet, Kevin, but this is the new thing, the new-ish thing that happens anytime there's a tragedy. All of these hoax posts of here's a picture of the victim, or here's a picture of the shooter, look out for him, or here's my kid who's missing in the festival, and they're all fake. These people are putting up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these people are putting up my daughter is missing in Mandalay Bay. Please retreat. I'm really worried. And they put up a photo. And it's the same photo they put up for the last 10 of these things. What is the mental mindset of somebody who would do something like that? I mean, you're just trolling the world. Are you just doing it because you get off on retweets or something? What should happen to those people? You know?
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
There's dozens and dozens. My dad is missing after Las Vegas shooting. Please retweet and share. Imagine making something up like that using somebody else's photo and just putting it out on the internet, creating your own fake news that way. So I don't know what to do with those people, but they're not making it any better either. That's
no,
for sure.
Agreed.
But anyway, we have no idea the specific details about this man, Stephen Paddock. As I mentioned, he is dead. We don't know, you know, if he's – I mean, maybe it's a mental health issue. You know, that's another thing we haven't even mentioned. Perhaps that's, you know, that's where we need to look. Maybe there were signs that people just ignored. Maybe awareness is something that might help in the future. But I will tell you that it just – you wake up to something like that, and it's just – it's hard to put it out of your mind, but it's so frustrating because you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. And it's just, you know, thoughts and prayers are pissing me off at this point because it's not going to prevent the next one. That's all. And like I said, I had something very funny planned for today. that involves labia, and we're just going to have to. It's just, it didn't seem.
Well, I mean, can we reschedule it for later?
Well, maybe tomorrow I'll be all up right. for it. It just, it didn't seem like today was the day to come on with that.
Yeah.
But you've come up with this, a great idea, Kevin, which is focus on the things that you can do that are positive, that help the world.
And maybe we don't know quite yet on this one. And so maybe we have to wait a little bit to see where we might be needed.
Okay.
But that is one thing that sort of, I mean, it doesn't make it better, but it sort of helps.
I like that.
So you're not feeling so hopeless.
Give me the date again, would you?
Yeah, it's Monday, October 2nd.
From now on, it's the 2nd of Rocktober.
Gotcha.
Is what it is.
That's all my bad.
Thank you for that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I know you say that, and it's funny, but stop it.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, we will talk to. We're going to announce the grand prize winner for the Voodoo Festival. We're sending somebody to New Orleans to see that. And speaking of announcements, we have a huge announcement for a breakfast with.
Can't believe you tipped the listeners off to that it might be Right Said Fred.
I mean, I couldn't hold it in any longer. We're going to do that 7:20, and we're going to start giving away tickets to that as well. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program from the NFL Network talking about week number 4.
Let's only talk about the Dolphins, shall we? Let's just spend all the minutes talking about the Dolphins. Talking about the 20-0 loss by the Dolphins.
At least I got up early to watch it.
Yes. This is a 6 a.m. game, Chip. Yep.
Ben McCoo, who is the host of Cyber War on Viceland, is back today, and his show is back, so we're very excited about that. And the champ himself, Demetrius Johnson from the UFC, is going to be in studio to talk about UFC 216. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph Garman is here, and I've been dying to ask you this all weekend long, Ralph.
Yes, I'm huge.
What?
That's not the question.
No.
How did you allow your travel schedule to take you out of town on a weekend when the Philadelphia Eagles were in town?
Money. Work.
All right.
Who's that?
Work beats pleasure often. So you got to do what you got to do, man.
Sitting
in the heat at the StubHub Center is no way to watch a football game for me. That's not my idea of a good time.
I've run into people who
hate... If I was in town, I don't think I would have gone.
I've run into people who hate heat a lot, but no one as extremely as Ralph.
I hate sun. I hate heat.
So that's true.
In intense sun and heat is not a good time. I like to see my football back east. I go to a game every season. I go back to Philadelphia. I go to the link, and I sit there in the cold and watch a game, and that for me is the way to watch
nonsense.
Football. Otherwise, I've got the Sunday ticket. I've got air conditioning and a couch. And
those are all good answers.
There's no reason for me to do that to myself.
I did hear that the Rams and the Chargers both are running into situations where there are as many people showing up to see the visiting teams as there are to see the home teams.
Oh, you have no idea. I guess you didn't watch the Eagles game
yesterday. Oh, I did. I saw enough of it to realize it was a home Eagles game.
But it was to the point where even the announcers could no longer not address it.
Yeah.
They said this. I think it was Dick Stockton said, "I've never heard a home team cheering as loud for a third down stop as I have this crowd trying to stop the Chargers from advancing down the field." He said, "It seems like the Chargers are an away game."
Yeah, it does. Yes.
The Eagles fans largely outnumbered the Chargers fans, and I was very proud to see that. And our fans do travel, and they travel well, and they are loud. Mm-hmm. And they are boisterous, and they make their presence known. So,
and as you know from all these years of living in Southern California, there are a ton of Philly people here.
Are you kidding me?
A ton.
Yeah.
So. Well, congratulations to everybody who got wings over the weekend.
Wings for me.
There you go.
Jeff, Kevin, wings for you?
What are wings?
Wings are for winners. Winners get wings.
Oh.
Yeah. When you score a point, if you score at least a point, sometimes
you score in football?
You have a chance to get a wing.
I thought you throws at the ends when you get picked off, and you just stand still during a wildcat, not do
anything.
That
was insane.
He was smoking a cigarette. Might as well.
Jay Cutler, who with his hands on his hips during the wildcat play, just staring and sulking while everyone else did their job, was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Try to sell it for a second.
The only football player I've seen take a knee during a game, not during the national anthem. He was like taking a knee during that play.
Those of you who don't know that football formation, he's just basically way out of position.
He's supposed to look like a receiver.
Like a wide receiver, right. And he just, you're right, he just might as well just sat down. He just was so uninterested in that. But at least the play worked.
Oh, man, that was nuts.
I'll take Tannehill at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. The way he is.
All right, anyway, we'll talk. Good football talk.
Yes, and we'll talk plenty more with Andrew Siciliano coming up later on like we do on Mondays. First, though, quick look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Could not help but think of the Kevin and Bean show this weekend as I saw the news that legendary game show host Monty Hall had passed away. Monty Hall, of course, was the host of the long-time running game show Let's Make a Deal. He co-created that show in 1963. It ran for nearly 40 years.
Wow.
And he hosted it in all its incarnations, plus took all that money for being a creator and producer. He was smart.
Yes, he was.
Then they brought it back, and Wayne Brady, of course, is currently the host of that show, and I believe he was still getting paid because he did create it, as I mentioned. Originally from Canada, picked up a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1973. Been on television for a long, long time, Monty Hall. And I think sometimes people confused his name with the name of a Canadian city.
What?
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
See? If you went to call Montreal, let's say you're a wacky morning DJ chucklehead team.
Don't poop on one of our finest moments.
And by the way, not one of our finest moments.
And he said, let's call Montreal and see what's going on. And so you dial it up and you go, hello, is this Montreal?
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
See, then Monty Hall would be on the other end of the phone.
Where's the rest of that phone call? We got to ask Lightning
that
if he's got that in the archive.
That was the phone call.
It couldn't have been.
It was phone call.
No, I think we also talked to Monty Hall.
I don't think we did.
I don't think we just had him say the one line.
I do think we did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we need at least to get your lines.
That's
I want to hear how the magic of your setup.
The big setup?
Yes.
Bean calls it one of our finest moments.
Yes,
it certainly
was.
Is. That and Thank You, Indy are the two things I hope this show is most remembered for.
Oh.
Two of the worst, most insignificant things.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Right, we get it.
When I saw the news, I had to send Bean an email, and I just wrote, not Montreal.
I stand by it.
I know you do.
Over the weekend, we'll take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office because it is a Monday. It was number one again, $17 million. People love scary clowns, right?
Sure do.
American Made, the new Tom Cruise movie, debuted with just $17 million. I heard it's the worst opening for a Tom Cruise movie since Jack Reacher. So not many people interested in watching him fly a plane full of drugs.
And by the way, I hear it is a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all in. I just didn't have time this weekend.
If Kevin doesn't go to your movie.
Not enough time.
You know you got no traction with the American public.
I will see that movie.
I was busy running. I had a lot of runs to do.
Now, I was at a wedding in Santa Barbara.
Oh!
For a friend. And here's a weird...
That sounds fun.
Weird quick story. Sitting there, waiting for the wedding to start, in walks number 99, Wayne Gretzky.
The Gretz?
Yes. And I didn't know he had any connection to anyone at that wedding, but he did. And he just showed up and sat down. And I was like, this changes everything. I was just sitting there going...
That's awesome.
Like, yes, it was crazy.
Did you go up to him and say, you're the best?
I didn't.
did you do that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't say anything to him?
No.
You get a picture, a selfie, nothing?
I got a picture, but it didn't come out very well. Because I tried to act like I was taking a picture of the bride and groom as they walked down, but I was really trying to get him.
Yeah?
And it didn't come out very well.
Why do you fail?
If I knew that.
You're both guests at the same wedding. You certainly could have started a conversation with the
man. Yeah, I felt like an a-hole because it was a wedding and it was for somebody else and... I don't know. It felt weird.
Yes. It's a social event.
It felt weird.
It's not like you're interrupting his dinner at a restaurant.
No, true. True.
I get where Kevin's coming from because you also.
What?
I do. Because you also don't want to be the guy who starts the line of selfies that now Wayne Gretzky feels obligated to take. Because once people see him taking a picture with somebody, that gives everybody else guts to go up and ask for the same.
Yeah, but you're not at the Normodome. It's not a long list of people.
Yeah.
If he takes a couple selfies, so what? It's the price you pay for being Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
And forget the selfies. How about a conversation? How about a hi, how are you? I'm a huge fan. Nice to meet you.
Now, that would have made sense, especially with hockey season starting and Kevin being such a big Kings fan and all. I guess that would have been a memory.
Would that have been okay in your social etiquette book, Bean? Have a conversation with another human being?
Yeah, I think that's all right.
But I found myself in the endless loop of, what am I going to say that he cares about? So that's going to be annoying to him.
You're the best.
I don't want to annoy him.
What about you're the best?
But I don't
your
want
patented
to...
trademark conversation.
Not patented or trademark.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. Anyway, back to you.
I'm already over my time.
Okay.
We'll talk about the rest of the movies in the next Showbiz Beat. And we'll talk about... I should have brought it up at this time. We'll talk about my celebrity interaction where I assaulted a celebrity.
All right.
This past weekend.
We'll Can't wait. Talk
about that during the Showbiz Beat. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, just ahead of getting our friend Harvey Levin on the phone, we were talking last hour about how helpless you feel when you wake up and you see a story like the shooter incident in Las Vegas. Folks just waking up. Bad news. Another mass shooting. Over 50 dead. Over 400 wounded, and we were like, you just feel like you want to do something. What can you do? Well, they are putting out a plea for blood, even people not in Nevada, by the way. They do have mechanisms for moving blood donations around, so if you did not already give at the K-Rock blood drive on Thursday and you got a little bit of time today, you could give blood today in California, and that could easily make it to Nevada today. There are over 400 people taken to the hospital, Kevin.
Wow, that's crazy.
So they desperately need blood, so that is something you can do and feel like you are at least making a difference a little bit. All right, let's get Harvey on the line from TMZ. They had a very busy night tracking OJ. Harvey, how are you, sir?
Okay, how are you guys? It's, this is just...
sucky.
Yeah,
tough. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah,
we are right there with you. That's how we started the show, is like it's real tough to go on and do the work that we do today when you've got this just in the back of your head because you just feel so helpless and so awful, you know?
It's just beyond words. It's horrible.
It is. It's horrible. You're right. Harvey, let's try to change the topic and talk about some OJ because you had great coverage on this. They did everything they could to make sure it wasn't a media circus when he left jail. Like, they really did everything they could to change things up and not release him when everybody expected he was going to be released, right?
Well, I mean, the weirdest part is that the prison actually shot video for all the media because, you know, I think they did not want people chasing him, you know, to get shots. So what they did was the prison shot him signing his release papers and then walking to the car and interacted with him and talked to him.
That's so weird.
It seems so bizarre.
Prison is like Lovelock Instagram is going to be lit.
Yeah, well, believe me, it was. And, I mean, their Facebook page was, I mean, everybody was on their Facebook page yesterday. So, he got out just after midnight yesterday, and he got in the car, and he drove away. But he drove away with a lot of the crap that he had in prison because he was afraid that people were going to, if he left it behind, people were going to sell it on eBay. And if any money is to be made, I'm sure OJ wants to make it. So,
I saw that on your site, and I thought, how much does he care? Why does he care?
Well,
so if somebody wants to sell a blanket that he had in his cell, who cares?
Yeah, you want to jump into his head. Here's the thing.
Yeah, good point.
Here's the wild card. I think with interest, he owes almost $100 million to the Goldman and Brown families right now. So obviously he's never going to pay that. He's not going to pay any money. He's been defiant about that.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks that he was, you know, making money secretly and hiding it. And I don't see if, you know, I believe that's not going to stop. And
okay.
I think that, you know, he is going to try in some way to, you know, make some money here and make some money there.
Harvey, how much money does he need to make, though? Doesn't he still have his 300 grand a year, right, from the NFL?
I think it's more than that. I think it's more like 400 grand a year.
That's more than enough to live on comfortably without looking for other ways to make money, though.
Let's not discourage him, though, because he's going to screw up at some point again.
Well, and you know what? And that's really the point, that he got away with a lot. I mean, look, he was found not guilty, and he knew he could have spent the rest of his life in prison, notwithstanding, before he went to prison for the kidnapping, you know, he got in a road rage incident, he got in a thing with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. OJ finds trouble.
Yeah.
And he has this weird fuse that, you know, goes off at very, and even during the parole hearing, remember there was that one moment where you saw him just get angry.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what he does.
I thought he didn't want to get out of jail at that point.
I know. But you know, that's something that seems ingrained in him. So the question is, that going to flare up again? It certainly did throughout his adult life. And, you know, will prison have changed that? I don't know, but we watched what happened during the parole hearing, and my guess is no.
Yeah. Who picked him up, Harvey?
He had a private driver who picked him up, and they drove like 4 hours, and a paparazzi agency got him at a gas station, which is kind of weird, 4 hours away, and they interacted with him, and he was saying, oh, I still feel like a prisoner. I'm locked in this car, and that's the last we've seen of him. And then obviously this thing happened in Vegas. Well, so
what's the talk of him not being able to leave Nevada? Is that still a thing?
You know, Pam Bondi, who is the Attorney General of Florida, doesn't want him in Florida, even though he wants to go there. My guess is she's not going to win this one, and they'll probably let him in, and he'll probably live with some of his friends there and, you know, golf and do what he does.
Yeah.
The question is he going to do it publicly or privately?
When a felon moves to your state, it sounded like she was asking for things like an ankle bracelet. She wanted him to have regular drug and alcohol.
She doesn't want him.
Right.
Yeah, but she'd like the Department of Corrections to say no.
Right. But they can put, can they do that? Can they restrict you from living in your state?
Well, they can try. If somebody poses a threat, they can impose whatever they want, and then, you know, the person takes it to court and says, look, I'm a free person now, I've served my time, and they can make that argument. But they could theoretically, look, he needs permission to go into Florida.
Okay.
He's on parole, and they have to say yes.
So he has to stay in Nevada for now, and what place to get into more trouble?
Nevada, right, especially for OJ.
Well, Harvey, that's where he ended up getting in trouble.
Yes, exactly.
In prison.
Right.
How interested, I'm asking you to get inside OJ's head, which you've already said is difficult to do, but how interested do you think he is in continuing to try to rehabilitate his image? Do you think he will agree to do an interview, for instance, to try to clear the air and make people like him again?
Well, you say agree. I say make money.
Yeah.
But he can't keep the money, so what's the point of making public money? I don't understand.
Yeah, well, that's what you say.
Okay.
I mean
technically that is what you said, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, he has found ways, I think, you know, in the past of, you know, making something here and making something there. But, you know, everything I'm hearing is they'd love to get some money out of him, for him.
Would you pay to interview him, Harvey?
No.
Thank you for that.
No. And we don't pay for interviews because, you know, we'll pay for video, we'll pay for photos because they are what they are. When you pay for an interview with anybody, when you pay for an interview, what you're doing is you're goosing the truth. You're saying to somebody, yeah, you know what, you want this much money, well, okay, but it's got to be really good. And what you do is you encourage people not to tell the truth by paying them money. And so that's why paying for interviews is really flawed. Paying for video, the video doesn't change if you buy it.
Right.
What comes out of their mouth in an interview does.
Very interesting. All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind when we see who he ends up going on TV with here, I'm sure, sometime in the next couple of months. All the latest on not only the O.J. Simpson story, but the developing story in Las Vegas, which you guys are doing a great job with on the site.
You should see what we just put up with Dan Blazarian. In the middle of the shooting, you hear him scream. She said, this woman next to me just got shot in the head as you listen to
him. Oh, my God. Oh,
it is just unbelievable.
It is. It's so awful. And I saw, and there's so much disinformation out there, Harvey, and I know that we can trust this stuff on your site. Have you heard anything about a report that there was a woman 45 minutes before the shooting began who screamed at the crowd, you're all going to die tonight? Have you heard anything about that?
No. I mean, there was a woman that was a person of interest that they were looking for, but that it turns out that she had nothing to do with this.
Okay.
So...
All right, we'll just keep an eye on it. TMZ.com, you guys, for all the info. TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11 throughout the day. TMZ Live at 4, and then TMZ Sports, of course, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be a tough day for you there in the newsroom, Harvey. Do your best. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, guys.
Listen to K-Rock all this week to win tickets to Cal Jam 17. This is the show, you guys. Coming up with Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Liam Gallagher, Royal Blood, and so much more. Got those tickets you can win all week long. Plus, we're going to be throwing in a pair of tickets to the latest Breakfast With. We have not yet announced it, but that's coming up within an hour. We're going to tell you who our new Breakfast With. I think you're going to be very excited. All right. Speaking of excited, season 2 of Cyber War, Kevin, your favorite show on the TV.
I love it so much.
Back on Viceland tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We are so delighted to welcome our friend Ben Makhu back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Ben?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Very good.
We're delighted. Man, this trailer that you guys put out of some of the stuff you're going to be covering for season 2 looks awesome. Congratulations. I cannot wait. What's your favorite episode of season 2?
favorite episode of season 2? Honestly, probably the premiere. And there's another episode we did on Mexican cartels that is very, very interesting.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Ben. If you haven't seen Cyber War on Viceland, if he talks about Russian hacking, he goes to Russia and he talks to hackers. Like, you just don't see that anywhere else.
No.
As a matter of fact, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that maybe Ben is doing all the hacking and then making a TV show about it.
Hey, Ben, I see how we got so many things we want to ask you. I see how resistant the Russians are to answering our questions about their hacking. They're really playing this one close to the vest. What's it like for you when you go over there? I imagine the government is tracking you, listening to your phone calls, doing everything they can to know what you know, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to Russia now probably combined something like 4 months. But spent a lot of time in Russia, and the last time I was there, specifically looking at the DNC, it was, you know, we were doing tons of different types of tradecraft to avoid government surveillance, but also at a certain point, you kind of accept that you're being watched. I mean, there's people always tell me that they're probably filming you in your hotel room. They know where you're going. They're tapping your calls, and I definitely have had some situations where I knew that I was being surveilled by the FSB. And was also approached by a certain individual within an organization when I went to a Putin press conference
right
back last December. So it's definitely it's bizarre because it's like that Cold War spy thriller you're thinking of from the 80s or 90s, and then you know you're kind of living it.
All right, but yeah. Let me ask you a question that's tangentially related to that, and that is, you're in Russia, you know they're watching you. You're also talking to hackers. Aren't the hackers afraid of that? And do you end up having to try and lose whoever's tailing you to give the hackers some kind of whatever limited privacy they can so they'll talk to you?
Definitely. There's all sorts of stuff we do to kind of shake any surveillance that could be attached to us. But also, that's kind of the game as well, is that the hackers will agree to speak with you, and then you have to figure out ways for them to safely speak to you. And then you have to start wondering, are these people also FSB, which is modern-day KGB, these FSB plants.
Right.
Am I even talking to a hacker?
Oh, right.
So there's all of that as well. I mean, and for the first episode on the Russian DNC, we actually had to train out very far into rural Russia, and we weren't completely certain what was going on. And not only that, I had to keep even just speaking to my producers and the DP. We just say where we were going very lightly because we didn't know if we were being bugged or if there was somebody watching us.
Sure.
So, you know, you kind of revert to this sort of the old spycraft stuff. You know, you speak closely in public. You never do it in a closed room, never use an open line, never use a hotline. So it was definitely like when you're dealing with hackers or anybody who's trying to be clandestine, it adds an entire new layer of stress to your shoot.
What is your background that gives you that gives you the trust of all of these hackers that you end up talking to? I mean, you talk to Anonymous, you talk to a whole lot of people that most other journalists can't get to. Why do they trust you?
It's a good question. quite honestly, I think part of it is a lot of the time I'm around their age. I speak their language in that I can actually converse with them, and I'm not, you know, the other thing I try to do is I try not to overstate who I am and what I can do. So I always say, like, look, I'm a journalist. I'm a journalist reporting on this world. I know about the world, but I need you to tell me more about it. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's, you kind of learn this over the last few years, just a bedside manner with hackers and different sources to convince them that, you know, you're trustworthy. I mean, for one, I think, the fact that the authorities have tried to get me to fork over information about sources and I refuse to.
In the courts in Canada, right?
Yeah. And you know, I've spoken to people in the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda and, you know, also in Anonymous. I think what you end up getting is sort of this summary or this resume of people who I've spoken to that people are like, huh, okay, well, he probably won't rat on me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Maybe
This is the voice of Ben McHugh on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Cyber War returning to Viceland tomorrow night at 7. You know, you mentioned the meme episode that kicks off the season tomorrow night. I'm fascinated with this. Did you talk to people who make these alt-right memes about their motivations, Ben?
I did indeed. I spoke to a self-professed alt-right meme magician, troll. He was a guy who was, you know, in the doldrums of the dark web, creating memes with an assortment of other characters. His name is Major Grubert. He was an interesting guy. And he just sort of explained to me not just the mechanics behind making a meme, but showing that what the alt-right had done and the right wing in the come up to President Trump's election was implement this very sophisticated, very intensely thought out, almost scientific way of propagandizing people's minds using a meme.
And most people don't even realize it's going on either. It's just something, it's just a photo they see on their Facebook page, and they have no idea that they're being manipulated just as much as if they were being advertised to.
Exactly. And not only that, so for one, Major Grubert was, we were in California for that shoot, and quite a few alt-right people, especially in your city right now.
Yep.
But the other thing was, we spoke to a UCLA professor who said that memes are, and he specializes in propaganda and how the mind kind of accepts it and processes it. He said a meme is like the best way to implant an idea in someone's mind, scientifically.
Is that right? Wow.
That's amazing. And you know, like there's one going around right now, Ben, and this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. There's a meme going around right now that is a Photoshop version of the Seattle Seahawks locker room. And Michael Bennett, in the photo that's being circulated right now, is holding an American flag that is on fire. Now, that never happened. It was a victory dance after a win last season, but they're making it look like, and then the subject line underneath is, don't let anyone tell you it's not about disrespecting the flag or something like that. And it's almost like that meme is put out there because they're trying to start a race war or something. And I just very possibly. I just don't understand, like, who's behind something like that, and why do they want to create chaos in America?
So, I mean, there could be a couple of people. Quite frankly, there could be Russian trolls behind that. That's not, like, I would never rule that out. The other thing that I wouldn't rule out is that what they're trying to do is sort of destroy the society that they see as being oppressive to their interests. Because that was sort of the interesting thing that I heard from some of those individuals, was that they were just mad that, you know, the world had changed and you know, men in particular were not treated with the same respect and dignity to their minds. So to them, anything that could take that down would aid in that process works. So something like putting out a falsified picture of the Seattle Seahawks to create race tensions, that would be totally, completely on the books for them. That would be an option.
White dudes are the worst, aren't they, Ben?
Yes, speaking of the white dudes, yes.
I mean, white dudes are the absolute worst, man. We ruin everything.
We do ruin everything.
I am so sad that we are already out of time. You know how much we love your show, and you know how excited we are that season two returns tomorrow. We haven't even gotten a chance to talk about the WikiLeaks thing that you do, about all the internet, of how things are all connected, and that's going to cause the apocalypse. I mean, there's so much great stuff this season. All we can do is urge everybody to tune in to Viceland Tuesdays at 7 p.m. It comes back tomorrow, season two of Cyber War. Ben, you're always welcome on the program, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. I always love talking to you guys.
It's raining outside.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
I can hear it. That's just the song from Imagine Dragons.
Oh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Less than 30 minutes away from unveiling the latest Breakfast With.
Mm-hmm.
And we start giving away tickets, too. I think you guys are going to be very excited. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Oh, and Harvey Danger. Harvey Danger! Finally making it so.
We're not allowed to say yet.
I'm just speculating. I don't know. I'm in as dark as the average Joe.
Okay. Hey, Ralph, you promised an update on a celebrity encounter.
Yeah, no time here.
What?
I got less than 5 minutes. I got show business news to deliver. Just stick around, kids, and I'll tell you how I assaulted a major celebrity.
I feel like that's showbiz news.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll find out.
Cranky.
Once we get the story from that guy who has the story.
Right.
Sad news over the weekend. We all found out that Let's Make a Deal host Monty Hall passed away.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Oh, I thought it was Montreal.
By the way, who was stunned that Monty Hall was still alive?
I'm raising my hand.
I was 96 years old. Is that what he was?
Yeah, and had been out of the limelight for 20
decades.
Years.
Yeah,
maybe longer, but still, life well lived. He created, co-created, and hosted Let's Make a Deal for 40 years, and then was revived in 2009. Wayne Brady took it over, and I think he was still getting cash for that. So it's an American classic. Let's Make a Deal.
Sure,
he created the premise. Of the zonk, remember? Like he'd like, oh, should I? Which one should I go for? And you like trading something great for something awful. And so, family says in his memory, Monty Hall will be buried behind door number one, door number two, or door number three. You're gonna have to try to guess to find out where his body is, which I think is fun. It makes the funeral fun. I think puts the fun back in funeral.
The great grandchildren will enjoy it.
They will. They'll have a good time. Top 10 movies at the box office. It, $17.3 million, made it number one. American Made debuted with $17 million. That made it number two. And the new Tom Cruise film. Kingsman, The Golden Circle was third. The Lego Ninjago movie was fourth. Flatliners came in at number five. Battle of the Sexes, six. American Assassin, Home Again, Till Death Do Us Part. And Mother were the top 10 films at the box office. This I thought was interesting. I don't know if we have time to play this. We don't. Never mind. We're gonna play a little game in the next hour on Showbiz Beat that I think you'll
a lot of teasing going on today.
I know. Well, I don't have any time. You guys are all blah 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 talking about secret cyber warfare and stuff, man. I don't know.
That's a great show. That's a real cool show, Ralph.
I got no time. You know what I've been busy in the other room doing? Just watching a piece of the set fall on Marilyn Manson over and over again.
I haven't watched the video, but it sounds like it was a pretty serious injury, right? He's canceled a whole bunch of shows now?
Yeah, maybe, whatever. I don't know. It just makes me laugh so hard because he's such a dick. There's nothing funnier than like a big, like a pompous dick who's like, I'm the Satan. I'm the son of Satan. Blah! And just like something falls on a guy. It shows you how much you're not the son of Satan. How you're just a guy named Brian Warner who put on a lot of makeup because you didn't feel good about yourself, and then stuff happens. That sort of karma makes me laugh. I just thought it was funny.
I'm sad for Marilyn Manson, by the way. I don't want to see him get hurt. I like him.
He's fine.
Seems like a nice guy.
He's fine. He's not a nice guy, by the way. And you've met him, and you know he's not a nice guy.
He seemed nice to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's hard for us to tell because when they come in, they're in PR mode.
Right.
But seemed nice.
Or coked up.
I mean,
sometimes it's hard to get a read off somebody when that's happening, too.
That's possible.
Maybe we liked him because we're not narcs, Ralph.
Right.
Think about
maybe
that.
That's what it was. Congratulations to good people, The Killers. How about their number one debut album?
Yay!
Their new album, Wonderful, Wonderful, debuted at number one this week.
All right.
First time that's ever happened in their 13-year career.
Good for them.
Couldn't be happier.
Love those boys.
Good guys, nice men. And they're number one. So
something falls on them,
I would
sad.
Be sad.
Sad.
I would,
okay.
I would rush to their aid. It's two guns, two giant guns on stage because I'm so metal. Ah! That's what happened. Undeniably funny. I'm sorry. Today's celebrity birthdays: Kelly Ripa is 46 years old today. Lorraine Bracco is 63, and Dave the King of Mexico just told me she's just been added to the cast of Blue Bloods.
Oh.
So now we can watch her on that every week.
You mean Blad Bloots?
Blad Bloots. Sting is 65 years old today. We had a breakfast with Sting not too long ago. Remember
Son
that?
Of a bitch looks better than we do already.
Right? Ugh. And Don McLean, singer Don McLean, is 72 years old today. You're probably, you know,
nope.
him best for his smash hit single, American Pie, which, of course, on this day every year, I like to pay tribute to Don McLean by singing in its entirety. So if you'll... You'll please sit back, relax, and enjoy the classic song, American Pie. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile.
This is what Ralph was saving his time for.
And I knew if I had
this
my
This is
chance,
why we don't get the celebrity run-in.
That I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver.
No!
With every paper I'd deliver.
Please stop.
Bad
stop
news
it.
On
I just
the doorstep.
Can't.
I
stop
couldn't
it.
Take one more step.
Stop!
stop it!
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside.
Stop doing what you're doing.
The day the music died.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Stop. Oh,
his mic went out.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. We have equipment problems.
He's Ralph Graber, and he walks the showbiz beat. This could be a busy half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're going to make a phone call and give away the grand prize trip to New Orleans. That's in Louisiana for the Voodoo Experience. We got that coming up. And then we're going to announce the latest Breakfast With. Find out who we're going to be having here at K-Rock in the days to come where you can join us. So that's all coming up. First beer mug is in here, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Mike.
Yep, I'm done. You know, tomorrow's going to be my last day because I made it, guys. Woo-hoo. I finally made it.
That's great news. You made what?
I'm going to be in the NHL.
Tell us about the backup goalie.
Well, the emergency goalie. Yes. For a long time, the NHL had a rule where if, you know, your backup goalie for a team went out, somebody from the staff can fill in. But they since then have changed that rule. Now, you cannot have anybody affiliated with the team come in as an emergency goalie. You have to essentially have never played for the team, have no affiliation. You're essentially a fan in the stands. So
what?
Doesn't
make any
it's
sense.
It's the most bizarre thing ever, right?
Why would you have a non-player take over a team position?
You know, I didn't write the NHL rules, but it's so strange.
And being this will shock you as well, might have to go in for either team.
Yes. So you get a ticket. So you're not part of the roster. You don't get paid, but you do get a ticket to every home game of that season. You're in the crowd on standby. You're not suiting up, but you're on standby just in case either backup goalie for each team goes out.
So how do they pick those people? How do they pick an emergency
tryouts,
goal?
Sir?
They tryouts. Had tryouts at their Toyota Sports Center where the Kings train.
And Beer Mug went out there and started as he usually does.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here at the Toyota Sports Center, where today the LA Kings are holding open tryouts for someone to be the emergency goalie. And I'm going to see what I have. What? What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the Toyota Sports Center, home practice facility.
Okay, so that went on for a while. We don't have time for that. But the video is up at kevinandme.com if you'd like to see this. Now he's getting dressed, and there's a lot of stuff to put on for as a goalie.
Most important part, you got to get the goalie pants. You don't want to be without pants when it comes to being a goalie, you know what I mean?
First of all, yeah, we know what you mean. You don't want to be without pants. And second of all, really, that's a good general rule, not just as a goalie.
Just
don't want to be
just
without pants. Basically, you need pants.
I am surprised that Muggs is in good enough shape to be able to pull those clothes on.
Hold, please.
I guess where are the socks? I can't go out there without socks. You know what I mean?
Do you know what he means, Bean?
We do, yes. We understand the word socks.
Oh, yeah. Sexy cup. Calm down, ladies.
I mean, come on. Take it easy, Muggs. So now he starts playing goalie, and he's really out of breath.
I'm already out of breath.
No, I'm still putting on the equipment.
I can't bend over to do this. Sean, hand me the camera. Can you buckle my skates?
Oh, you know what? He's not playing goalie. He's still putting on his equipment.
Huh, how about that?
Was going to be my punchline.
Until I stepped on it. Sorry, Kevin.
No, it's not confusing at all with you on tape and you yelling over the top of it. That's good. All right, so he goes out on the ice, and he's told to do a little stretching.
So Derek Armstrong got the first puck.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut out the stretching part. Yeah. Derek Armstrong is going to shoot on him as goalie. Muggs is out there. He's in the equipment, and he's getting ready to play goalie.
So Derek Armstrong got the first puck. He got it by me. But then I gloved the second one, and now I'm tremendously out of breath. Again, just dying. I know I told the Kings that I was athletic earlier, but now I started to think that's all a lie.
Now, here's my question. You knew that was a lie when you told them.
No, I had confidence that I would do okay.
Explain that.
Well, you know.
How do you have confidence that you're going to do okay? You know that goalie equipment weighs like 75 pounds.
It was a lot. It was absurd. And they threw me in the room to just put it on by myself. I didn't really have any guidance.
Right.
But I thought I was going to fare okay.
That's what's fascinating about you.
Yeah.
Your level of confidence compared to your level of ability is a little out of whack.
I think Muggs was counting on adrenaline. I think the excitement of being a professional goalie for a minute was going to be enough to carry him through, but apparently not.
But he got a chance to talk to a former Kings goalie.
Bill Ranford, former L.A. King goalie and now goalie coach for the L.A. Kings. Thank you, sir. I'll take your advice.
Well, I never did play for the L.A. Kings, but I am the goalie coach.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. Not a Kings goalie.
Deep background check, was it, Mike?
I got one out of two.
And then he started talking to Derek Armstrong, who was taking the shot.
All right, you guys. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who was shooting on me in goal, Mr. Derek Armstrong. Let me take it again.
You're tired.
So tired. I'm out of shape, Derek.
Derek Armstrong. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with the man who is the nicest guy, I think, former L.A. King I've ever met, Mr. Derek Armstrong. He was shooting on me in net, and I'm so tired right now, Derek, I don't even know how to think or speak.
I mean, really? You have to be that tired to not be able to know how to think or speak?
Have you ever suited up, Kevin, and played goalie?
I have, but what I'm saying to you is you can do that without playing goalie. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what you feel like after a long shift. You know, now you know what it's like to be a hockey player. But you're awesome. He went in there. I thought he was horrible to start, to be honest with you.
That's not all he says about Muggs.
And I shot one. He fell on his back. And I was like, we might need to get him off the ice and get some oxygen. But he made an unbelievable glove save. He made a glove save.
That means
it was very spectacular.
That means a lot coming from you, Derek. Of course, I used to watch you play with Luke. And we used to have me. You played with Roenick.
Yeah. JR was one of my favorite teammates of all times.
So this is like a dream come true. Anytime I have an opportunity to talk to an LA King, Derek Armstrong, former LA King, still with the LA Kings organization. Thank you so much for having me out here today, Derek. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Rock and roll never dies, man. Love it. Cheers.
Yeah.
By the way, you must have walked out of there as a serious, legitimate hockey fan. Muggs, you must have walked out of there on such a high.
I was
on
cloud nine.
Must have been so fun.
I mean, if he could breathe, he would have been happy.
I was so, every part of my body was so sore after that.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. Drew Doughty, by the way, from the LA Kings on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
One of the greatest UFC champions of all time, Demetrius Johnson, joins us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. Right now, though, got to take care of some business. All weekend long, we were giving away tickets to Cal Jam 17, which is this Saturday at Glen Helen, and we were qualifying folks for the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans, Louisiana. By the way, Kevin, I never go to anything. Thinking about going to this.
Yeah, you're not going.
Thinking about going to this.
I know you say you're thinking, but you're not.
Foo Fighters, Kendrick Lamar, The Killers, LCD Sound System, The Head and the Heart, and so much more. Let's call that grand prize winner right now, shall we? Tell him or her that he or she is going to New Orleans, Louisiana. And then we'll announce the new Breakfast With.
Oh, can't wait.
And start giving away tickets. It's a big segment, you guys.
Hello?
Hi, is this Kathy Lewinsky?
This is Kathy Lewinsky, and I'm listening to K-Rock right now.
Hey! Kathy, then you know why we're calling.
Kathy Lewinsky is the winner? I'm going to New Orleans?
Yes.
I'm going to New Orleans to see both of them?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even breathe. Oh, K-Rock, this is the most awesome prize. Oh my God. Kevin and Bean?
Yes.
I won this awesome prize from you.
Yes. Oh, you knew it was us when I mangled your name, right?
Oh, no, you can't get Kathy Lewinsky wrong. No, no. I have that famous name, but it ends with an I, not a Y.
All right. Okay.
So we're not accusing you of anything. It's okay.
You go to the Voodoo Fest, which, of course, is in New Orleans. You mentioned Foo Fighters. You also get to see Kendrick Lamar and The Killers and LCD Sound System and a whole bunch more. So we're very happy for you.
I am so happy. Oh, my gosh. I went to New Orleans just before Katrina. That was the last time.
Oh.
And this is so awesome to go to New Orleans again and see Foo Fighters. You don't know how happy I am.
That makes us very happy.
You don't know how many times we give a grand prize to somebody who doesn't seem to care? And that sort of bums us out.
I know. You don't know how it is for the listeners when someone wins something and they're such a downer. You know, you feel your pain because we want it so bad. And then the winner is, like, not even gracious. And I am so grateful.
We're so happy. We're very happy for you, Kathy. You sound like a nice lady, and I hope we get a chance to hang out together in New Orleans, okay?
Oh, I hope so, too.
Plus, you can stay at Bean's house. It's just been decided.
I'm not sure about that. But congratulations, Kathy. Have a wonderful time, and thank you for being such a great listener, okay?
Oh, thank you, K-Rock. Thank you, Kevin and Pete.
All right, we're going to hang up on you, but we're going to have somebody call you back, okay?
Oh, yes, I got to get all the details.
You will. You will.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kathy.
Wow. Just made my whole day.
Wow.
How wonderful was that?
That was fantastic.
All right. So, Cal Jam 17 tickets all weekend long. Kathy won hers. You can win yours because we continue to give them away throughout the rest of this week on K-Rock. But here's the twist. Not only do you win tickets to that show this weekend at Glen Helen, you also get access to the latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast With. Now, this is something we've been doing for 20-something years on this show where we get great huge artists and put them in tiny little rooms and let you be there and be part of the interview process. You get to watch them perform. You get to help us interview the band. Here's a quick mother effing montage of some of the bands we've welcomed in the past.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Blink 182.
Radiohead.
No doubt, everybody.
Because I'm just a girl.
Nine Inch Nails.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
You too.
Let's hear it for Weezer.
Breakfast with the Killers.
Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music?
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Breakfast with Muse. This is crazy.
Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Sting.
From Akron, Ohio, give it up for the Black Keys.
Wonderful things happen on this tiny little stage in front of us with a couple of hundred of our favorite K-Rock listeners. And this morning, very special treat. It's a little band that we like to call the Arcade Fire. All right. Goosebumps. Let's do it one more time. The latest Breakfast With. Kevin, you want the honors?
I would love to have the honors. We just had a conversation last week about the best current rock bands of all time. Mm-hmm. And we all agreed on number one, Foo Fighters.
Hold on.
Why? You said, do I want...
Right, but I was going to just ask
But why
you,
do you have to... Well, hold
because
on.
Because what is the current...
That's anticlimactic.
Right, but I didn't know you were going to jump right
but
in.
But I'm because, saying...
But you said
do you want to announce it? And I said, yes. And then I went on to announce it.
Right, but I was going to...
Only when I said the band, you said, hold on.
Because I was going to question how it could be the current and all time at the same time. It was very confusing.
That was so
that.
Anticlimactic.
That didn't feel good for me either.
Let's do it again.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast With is
Foo Fighters.
Yay!
Come on!
That felt better. I like that one better. They're one of the biggest and one of the best bands in the world, and you know how fun they are, and we want you to be in the room with us at the HD Radio Sound Space. It's going to be Tuesday morning, a week from tomorrow, at 7 a.m. If you can make it, if you love Foo Fighters like we love Foo Fighters, we want to hear from you right now. I think we're going to give away the first pair of tickets, right?
That is correct. 1-800-520-1067. You have to be familiar with their music, which I assume all of you are. You call, and we're going to get you into, it's Cal Jam as well, correct?
That's correct.
Cal Jam 17 as well, and then Breakfast with Foo Fighters just announced. If you want to call, you can win now on K-Rock.
Just announced. Foo Fighters, Breakfast With, our latest, next Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to give away some tickets right now, along with tickets to see Foo Fighters this Saturday night at Glen Helen for the Cal Jam 17 Festival. We're going to do it with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Now, you mentioned Foo Fighters fans should call, Kevin. They are on the line. You know their music. You love their music. You're well-primed for this game. However, we have just three pair to give away right now.
Right.
Here's the thing. We can't just start blowing them out dozens at a time because you know how small the HD radio sound space is.
Yes. Are you still asking me questions? Yes, it's a very small room.
Well, I'm just saying, let's make that point, as we're talking about less than 200 people in the room.
Right.
So we're gonna have to space them out. So we may have three pair to give away here. So if you are able to identify this song that we're going to play for you in just a second, you will go into the drawing, and three of you will win tickets to join us for the Breakfast With. Who's our first contestant, please?
All right. First up is Corey in Huntington Beach. Hi, Corey.
Hello.
All right. We're going to play each one for you twice. You're going to get the first second of a Foo Fighters song. Twice, okay. And then you have to identify what song that is. Are you ready?
Ready.
Good luck. One more time.
Times like these.
Yes. Nicely done.
There you go. Well done, Corey. You are in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Daniel in Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, what's going on?
Just a second! That's what's going on. Are you ready for your Foo Fighters song?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right, here you go, twice. One more time.
Come on, say detachable penis.
That was close. Best of You?
Sorry, that's rope. Apologize. All right, let's go to Narisha in Whittier. Hi.
Narisha.
Okay, sorry.
Wow.
Take it easy.
Some attitude here. Get Kathy back on the phone. I liked her better.
Richard, it's
habit. Narisha. All right, are you ready? I hope you win, even in spite of your bad attitude.
I got an awesome attitude. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I love you. Here you go. You ready? One more time.
Monkey Wrench?
Yes. Nicely done.
Actually, it's Monkey Wrench. Come on, get it right. All right, Narisha's in the drawing.
Sean in Riverside, hi.
What's up, party people?
Just a second! That's what's up. You ready to get tickets for breakfast with Foo Fighters?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to play it for you twice. Good luck. One more time.
Oh, I hate this game. I'm just going to guess Everlong.
I'm sorry, it's DOA. All right.
Let me tell you something about these Foo Fighters, too. If they didn't play instruments or sing, they would be a great breakfast with because they're so hilarious and so much fun to talk to.
They're huge fun.
The stories they tell.
Leo in North Hollywood, hi.
How's it going, party people?
It's going well. You ready for your just a second?
Ready as it's going to be. Let's do it.
All right, here you go. Good luck. All right, one more time.
All my life I've been searching for something.
Nicely done. Hold on.
All right. Now, let me just throw this out here. We already have Corey. We already have Narisha. We already have Leo. If we don't go on, we can just give them the tickets, and then we don't end up with somebody naming a song and then not getting tickets.
Because we have time for, like, one more, and then...
Yeah.
But then what if that one person wins?
Right, but now...
They don't even have a chance.
But what if we have four in the drawing, and then one person doesn't win it?
Right, that sucks.
I just feel like we can make everybody who's already gotten through happy right now if we just cut it off right here and save the rest for later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our winners.
Yeah! All right, so Corey, Leo, and that bitch Narisha... are all going to be joining us next Tuesday in the HD Radio Sound Space, our latest Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Your tickets are coming up on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Hey, Andrew Siciliano coming up right after 8 a.m. Recapping NFL weekend number 4. And then Demetrius Johnson at 9 o'clock. Mighty Mouse himself. By the way, has he defended his title 10 times in a row?
Yeah, I think he's the most winning UFC fighter right now.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he does it while wearing that big mouse head, too. No, it's crazy. That's not him. He's out there performing.
That's dead mouse.
That he can
dead
fight mouse. And wear that giant.
Mighty Mouse.
Different person.
Different guy.
Oh, different mouse.
Yeah, different.
All coming up on K-Rock Plus. More tickets for our just-announced breakfast with Foo Fighters Tuesday here at K-Rock. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We always look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday morning. Let you know what people went to see in the theaters. And here's the results. Yeah, that clown. That clown's still number one. Even then, there's a movie about Amco that's very popular this weekend. It, $17.3 million, is number one again this weekend. Then behind that, not too far behind, was American Made. The new Tom Cruise film debuted with $17 million. Made it number two. Kingsman, The Golden Circle. Lego Ninjago movie Flatliners debuted with $6.7 million. Made it number five. Battle of the Sexes, American Assassin. Home Again. Till Death Do Us Part. Anybody?
Nope.
You got anything on that one?
No, I don't.
I don't recognize that title either. And Mother came in at number 10. I promised you this quick poll, and I thought it was very fun. to play this game. We'll just play it real quickly because I know sometimes these can go on and on and on. But we're lucky Allie's not here today, so it'll cut some of the time out from her guessing. The Riddler? We won't have to put up with that. There's a quick poll in England, the UK. This is not our country, Kevin. This would be another country called England.
Okay.
We got that? Right. We're established?
The UK.
Top five songs. When asked the question, what song is most likely to make you work faster? It'll make you work faster. You know, sometimes you'll put on some music when you got something to do because you want a little boost, you want a little energy,
sure.
A little soundtrack for your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
This is the list in the UK. When asked, what song makes you work faster? When you got something to do. So we've got the top five answers when asked that question right here, right now. I thought you might be interested.
Disturbed, Song of Silence.
No, but that's fascinating in its oddness. And it's not really funny or a good question, or an answer, rather. And yet, still, it was said.
It's also not the title of the song.
Poorly, right. That wasn't the right.
That was good, though.
Title.
Here, I'll give you a little starter.
Okay.
I'll give you a little starter.
All right.
Here's number five. Nope. Okay.
Oh.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Do it. Set it up again.
I'll give you a little hint. Here's number five on the list.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. See that?
All right.
I'm mopping the floor.
Peppy, right?
Yeah. Maybe I'm drying the dishes. It makes me move a little more quickly.
All right.
So that's what we're talking about. That kind of groove. You have any guesses? So
I have none. I have no guesses.
Okay, good. Here's number four then.
We could have had it
by. Yeah. I'm ironing the crap out of my shirt to this. If I'm working.
You have crap in your shirt?
If I'm working around the house.
Yeah, we should have known that.
Here's number three.
Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito.
Peppy.
I'd like to eat burritos. Burritos.
Douchebag. Bean, you'll like number two.
All
right. Look.
I mean, that song's great for anything.
See, now you ruin it. I was almost going to say something not bad about it, and then you ruin it because now I have to, just to balance out the world.
He forces us into this position.
He does.
It is some straight-up boning music.
That's right, Allie.
No, it's not. But I thought by far my favorite answer was number one. This is going to blow your mind. The people asked in the UK, they asked this question. This is 19% of those polled came up with this answer on their own. Please enjoy.
What? Kind of coming out of nowhere?
That's so strange.
Because all the other songs are like from the last couple of years, right?
What? Yes!
Why 30-year-old Come On Eileen?
I can't imagine.
That makes no sense.
They just like Come On Eileen. And how she feels about it, but everyone else seems to like that song.
That's odd.
That was odd, yeah. Ah, look at the time. No time for my Assaulted a Celebrity story.
Oh, come
on!
Next hour. I assaulted a celebrity, and you'll find out how and why over the weekend.
Do you promise next hour?
Because
you lied twice
celebrity.
Now. All right.
I didn't lie. I said I would try to get to it the next hour.
All right. I'm saying, will you promise that you'll get to it next hour?
I promise I'll get to it next hour.
Right.
I'll do what they say in the news business. I will lead with that story.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
In the next Showbiz Beat. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, TV show host Kelly Ripa is 46 years old today. Huge Philadelphia Eagles fan, Kelly Ripa, by the way.
Big, all right, so big, she can't be perfect.
Big, 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 big Philadelphia Eagles fan.
She's got faults.
Kelly Ripa and me, probably both rocking our Eagles hats today as we eked out a victory yesterday. Lorraine Bracco, she's 63 years old today. Singer, actor, tantric sex master. Sting, 65 years old today. And singer Don McLean is 72 years old. Don McLean probably still best known for his massive classic hit American Pie. He is 72 years old today. As always, to celebrate his birthday, I like to sing that song in its entirety. So if you would, please sit back, relax, and enjoy American
Pie.
Oh
my gosh.
By Don McLean.
No.
Alison Haggins, I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm gonna scare the hell out of you.
Time for David Pumpkins.
Oh yeah.
No.
We got time
You're
for this.
Eating into my American Pie time.
Yes.
We don't have time for David S. Pumpkin.
There's always time for Pumpkin.
Come on. Any questions? Right? A long,
I'm
long
Ralph
time
Garman,
ago,
and I walked the showbiz beat.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
Right.
No.
And I knew if I had my chance that I would make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver.
No.
Out.
No.
Now. With every paper I deliver.
No.
Bad
no.
news on the doorstep.
No.
I couldn't take one more step.
Hell no.
I can't remember if I cried
when I heard
about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside.
We'll be back with Andrew Siciliano.
The music died.
All right.
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie.
Bye, bye. That's the band right there. That band.
Yep.
Doing breakfast with.
You know, we did a little research. The last Breakfast with Foo Fighters was in January of 2008. So it's just a couple of months shy of 10 years since the last Breakfast with Foo Fighters. But we've got one coming up next Tuesday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show, 7 o'clock. Got tickets you can win all week long here on K-Rock. And we'll also hook you up with a chance to see, with tickets to see, Foo Fighters at Cal Jam 17 this weekend as well. So a lot of Foo's left on K-Rock this week. Let's say hi to Andrew Siciliano. DirecTV Red Zone, host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network. Andrew, how are you, sir?
Good morning, guys.
I do want to mention before we talk about yesterday that obviously we all woke up to the terrible horrific news out of Las Vegas, and it is not far from our thoughts. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. We still have to kind of move on and try to do. You know, a lot of people reach out to us, Andrew, and they're like, hey, today's the day we need you to be funny, as hard as it is to do that, you know?
No, and I understand. And I asked Dave before he came on, you know, what kind of tone, obviously, is the show taking? Because honestly, I went to bed last night. I was so early and exhausted, or I went to bed so early, rather. I was in bed around 9. I just woke up to this a half hour ago.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to wake up to.
My shock is anyone's concern, certainly, but it is awful, and honestly, the last half hour, I've just been calling friends. And I used to work in Vegas for 4 years, back and forth between here and there, so I'm just calling friends and checking up on everyone to make sure everyone was okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have to process. You have to figure out a way to process it so that you can then move on and live your life and deal with your day. So, you know, I don't want people to think we are ignoring it. We certainly are aware of it, and it's, you know, it's a painful thing. But let's move on to something a little bit sunnier, and that is, how about those Dolphins, right? They continue to amaze?
Jeez. I can't believe you're starting with the Dolphins. That
Come on.
Rub it in a chip?
Yes. That's exactly why.
Wow.
Kevin had a great question before we brought you on the air, Andrew. Yeah. How often is a team shut out in the NFL?
It's a great question, and I don't have that number in front of me. Certainly there are a couple of shutouts every year. I could tell you this, since we started exporting football to Her Majesty's United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, this is the first team to be shut out over there. And normally, because you know we have four games there this year, four. And normally it's, oh, they're happy to have a game. I think the fans there realize the Dolphins are bad because they know their football well enough by now.
Look, we know a good game from a bad game, and don't send us them.
Yes. Except they shouldn't be bad. Look, in no way am I saying, woe are the Dolphins, their season is ruined because a hurricane hit Florida. That is the least of anyone's concerns. However, when they landed there yesterday or a couple of days ago, that had been 11,000 miles already flown before the game for them.
Yeah. Wow. That's gonna have an impact for sure. What about Jay Cutler's lack of commitment to the bootleg?
It wasn't the bootleg, was it?
It was a Wildcat.
It was a Wildcat.
Oh, the Wildcat. Sorry. Yeah. What about that?
What are you talking about?
You didn't see the clip. There's a clip of them doing the Wildcat where the quarterback lines up, of course, as a wide receiver. And Jay Cutler, I'm not positive if he was smoking, Chip said earlier this morning.
God.
Maybe he's
checking his phone.
Yeah, he's maybe checking on Twitter or something. But he was couldn't have been less interested in that play.
Okay. Lift a finger.
It's awesome.
I didn't see it, but do people know what the smoking Jay Cutler meme is?
No, go ahead, explain it.
Okay, so many years ago on the streets of Chicago, somebody caught Jay Cutler standing outside a brownstone with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, okay?
Right.
And it has been used in every, I mean, it's used thousands of times by those wacky meme makers out there. Whenever Jay Cutler's got a bad play, they just stick a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. So well, that's not strong enough for what he was doing yesterday.
Yesterday, I figured he could have one of those, like, Sherlock Holmes pipes.
Yes. And what was his quote at the beginning of the season, Chip? He said, I don't have to be in shape. I'm a quarterback, right?
Pretty much.
Correct.
So, all right. Let's move on from the Dolphins to a team that a lot of people are seriously concerned about. Who would have predicted the 2-2 New England Patriots? Is there reason to be worried in New England, Andrew?
Yes, there is, because they cannot stop anyone or anything. They have faced four quarterbacks this year. All four have thrown for 300 yards.
Wow.
That is hard to do. Moreover, I was just doing the math last night. They've given up over 1,800 yards defensively in four games. When I tweeted that, people actually thought I was just being flippant and making up some randomly large number.
Because they've just not believable.
they are on pace, and we could start doing the on-pace thing because we're officially a quarter of the way through the regular season. They are on pace to give up the most yards any defense has allowed in the history of this game. That
wow.
includes the leather helmets. Now, granted, with the leather helmets, they played a different style of offense. No one threw the ball, and they only played like 10, 11 games. However, it is the most on pace, that is, to give it the most yards ever.
And it was a close game, but a loss is a loss, you know?
And last week, same thing, close game, and Tom Brady pulled the miracle out of his derriere this year, this time, rather, the other way around. They had their late lead, and eventually it was Carolina that drove down the field and lined up their kicker, and they're the ones who got out of there with a win. But guess what? Woulda, coulda, shoulda last week for the Panthers. They very well could be 1-3 right now.
Yeah. Well, Allie is so upset she's not even here today, Andrew.
I figured that when Dave said she wasn't there, I figured she is at home because she can't face you guys after the Patriots.
She is crying into her Tom Brady pillow.
Yes, I tweeted this yesterday. It was kind of like in Superman 2 when he's in the diner and he gets into fight and he realizes he's mortal. Remember that?
Yes. He starts bleeding from the hand, exactly.
Right.
All right.
That's what the Patriots are.
Let's close with a happy note. The Rams are for real, right?
I said last week this is a statement game for the Rams. They go into Dallas. They trade punches the entire time. They pull it out at the end. Listen, no one is buying tickets yet for Minnesota in the Super Bowl because it's likely going to be 3 feet of snow. However, they are very much legit. They're the highest scoring team. They came in averaging 35 points a game, best in the NFL. They scored 35.
That's crazy.
They beat a team. The Cowboys are, I don't want to say they're in trouble, but they've lost 4 out of 6, including the playoffs going back to last year. The Rams look real. But I'll say this, and it's not a but, it only gets more difficult from here. There are no off weeks in this league, clearly. You get the Seahawks at home this week, where I don't think there'll be an attendance problem now.
Right.
Then you have to go to Jacksonville, much better than they had been in the past. And then from Jacksonville, you fly directly to London to play the Falcons. So the next 3 weeks are a long, long march for the Rams. They're 3-1. They were 3-1 last year as well. But look at the numbers. This team is so much better in so many ways than last year's 3-1 mirage.
Talking to Andrew Siciliano, host of DirecTV's Red Zone channel, up to the minute on the NFL Network. Before we say goodbye, the Chiefs are the only undefeated team left in the NFL. They'll still be so after Washington tonight, right?
You would think so, but if the Redskins were to win, I believe it would be the first time that we had no undefeated teams heading into Week 5 since 1970.
Wow. Interesting. So there's your parody, right?
There is your parody.
Exactly.
Correct. But the Browns are still winless.
Right? At least the Browns are our North Star, aren't they, Andrew? The one thing we can count on.
Guys.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Andrew.
All right.
In the 9 o'clock hour today, the champ will be here. Mighty Mouse himself, Demetrius Johnson from the UFC, talking UFC 216. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, just after midnight, Monday morning, O.J. Simpson, released from prison, gathers up his stuff, walks out the door, gets into what kind of vehicle to drive away from the prison after 9 years at Lovelock, Kevin?
A white SUV.
Indeed. A white SUV is what picked him up with the driver.
What must that be like, not just for OJ, but for anybody after 9 years behind bars? What's the first thing you do? In and out, right?
I mean, or women. One or the other.
Right, but in and out.
Right, for both.
All right. Let's let's head to the phone and talk to OJ for the first time in a long time, not behind bars. OJ Simpson, welcome back to K-Rock, my friend.
You guys are funny.
Thank you. See?
Because that also can mean sex.
Right. That was the joke. Right.
That's all right.
Can you believe that our show is still on the air, OJ?
I can't. You know, the one good thing about being in prison was I could not hear your show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And now I'm out. Yep. You got to take the good with the bad, I guess.
So I guess I have to ask, as I'd ask any prisoner, what do you do? I mean, you get driven away, and then what?
Then, number four.
Number four.
Yep.
Huh, number four.
I'm trying to put the pieces together. You lost me, OJ. I'm sorry.
Come on, a number four meal at McDonald's in the
drive-thru. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, double quarter pounder with cheese.
I was trying to think of people you killed, honestly. I thought that's what your joke was.
Oh.
I mean, because, too.
That is racist.
I didn't know about
three.
First of all. It's not.
I don't think this race is not involved at all, OJ.
Oh, sorry. Looking for an out.
Right, exactly. All right, so what's the plan? What are you going to do? No, I'm serious. Like, what's next? What are you going to do? How are you going to occupy your...
I just got out of prison.
Right.
So I had McDonald's.
Okay.
And I'm going to spend some time not being behind bars.
Right.
All right. Now, according to the article we're reading, you are going to get a house and live in Las Vegas.
Well, I kind of have to stick around for a while.
Uh-huh.
I guess they want to make sure I'm not going to hold up any more people with a weapon and steal stuff.
That seems fair.
I think so. I mean, I wish they would just let me go to Florida, where I'd rather be.
Florida doesn't want you, though.
Well, they're racist, first of all.
I'm not sure. Again, I think it's just that you're a felon.
Well, listen, I think what I'm going to do is try to get some work, do something productive with my life.
What job would you get?
A party clown at kids' birthday parties.
I don't think very many parents are going to want a double murderer coming over to the house, OJ.
I didn't kill any kids.
Yes, but that's a fine distinction,
though. They're probably safe. Children are probably safe around me. That's what I'm telling them right now.
Parents are not going to want to take
juice.
That risk.
Come on, hey, kids, it's the juice, your beloved football hero. Yeah. All the kids be like, what? Who?
Who?
Then don't make me angry, kids, I'd say to them. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
That's true.
Well, I got a knife thrower in a circus. I got some experience with that.
I think it makes us uncomfortable.
Tell me you wouldn't want to see OJ throwing knives at a target in a circus.
I don't want to see you having anything to do with knives.
Come
OJ.
On.
That's too, it's too
blonde
close.
Target.
No.
Target delivering drinks on a tray.
Inappropriate, OJ. No, that's not a good idea at all.
Too soon?
Too soon, yes.
KNOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, by the way. It's UFC 216. Our friend Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson's in the next room. We're bringing him in right after the top of the hour to find out how he plans to defend his title yet again. How much more can they ask of this man? How many times does he have to go in there and defend this belt?
Well, it's kind of his job.
I mean, I think as long as he has the belt, he has to defend it.
Kind of what he does.
You can't just retire with it.
It's his job.
No one's come close to taking it from him yet. So no. I'm looking forward to talking to Demetrius. That's coming up. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
First of all, you know, you wonder if when Vegas will be able to come back. Just think about Vegas because you mentioned the fight.
Yeah.
In terms of what they've been through and the scars and emotions that's going to carry for that town for a long time. So to everyone there, and I know we have listeners who listen on the podcast and listen online and stuff, please know that our thoughts are with you as you go through what you go through. Because it sucks. And it you know, the victims, it's beyond speakable what happened to those people and their families. The dead, the injured. But you have to remember that everybody is a victim in that city in particular, and the country as a whole. We all feel this stuff when it happens, not to the same degree, but I'm sure Vegas is going to be shaken to its core for a long time because of what happened. I was just in Orlando over the weekend, and they're still reeling from the Pulse nightclub shooting. Sure. I mean, people's emotions are still very raw about those events, and something like this takes a toll on a city and the people who live there for long after it stops being news. So I'm thinking of those folks today, as we all should be. Speaking of Orlando, I promised the story, so I'm got to get to it, because Kevin's going to throw down if I don't.
You did promise you'd say it first.
So. That I assaulted a celebrity over the weekend, and I apologize, and I feel bad, and I should have apologized to the celebrity after I assaulted him, but I could not find the words, and I will explain to you what happened. I was in Orlando, Florida over the weekend performing Hollywood Babylon with my friend Kevin Smith, and so I was returning yesterday, and through a series of events, no fault of my own, I was late getting to the plane.
Okay.
And I was like the last guy on the plane.
Oh, you got on though?
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Usually I got a bag and it's got computers and stuff and electronics and stuff we use for the show. So usually I check that bag because trying to get it through security is just too much of a hassle. So I tried to check the bag and they said, oh no, I'm sorry. There's no time for you to check that bag. You're going to have to carry it on.
Okay.
So I pulled out all the equipment and I scanned it and everything and boom, and now I'm running. Now I'm late for the flight, right? So
That's
I get
worst.
There and I get on the plane and now I got this bulky carry-on that I usually don't carry on and there's no room to put it anywhere. Except for one space. The overhead compartment is still open for room for me to put something in there.
Right.
Now, it's one of those weird situations where it's your seat is beyond that overhead compartment.
But you got to take the spot.
Right. So you put your bag in there and then you go to your seat.
Right.
But you know in your head, because of the way the plane is configured and the way people leave, that when it's time to leave, if you don't get to that overhead compartment pretty early on after that bell dings,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be sitting in that seat for an hour before you can finally get into the aisleway to get to your
luggage. You do have to wait for everyone to unload right. at that point.
So I did a little bit of a dick move when it goes ding and you can unbuckle your seatbelt. I bolt out of my chair and I go right to that overhead compartment so I can get my thing out of there before traffic in the aisleway gets to the point where it no longer becomes passable.
So far, so good.
Did what I could, but it was very unwieldy of me to get this thing down.
Okay.
And so the guy's sitting underneath the compartment, and I got a bag on my shoulder, which is very heavy and full of stuff, and I'm trying to juggle with the other thing, and I got another package I'm carrying. I mean, it's like four things I'm trying to juggle. And I just, in a rush to get out of the aisleway again and let people go by, I swung the bag on my shoulder and smacked the guy right in the head.
Oh, no.
And I felt like the biggest dick. Because I pegged this poor bastard. And he...
Did it shake the plane?
But it was sort of like I was unaware of it until well after it happened. I felt the bump, but I thought I'd hit a chair or something. I didn't
right.
realize. Until this guy's looking at this other guy like, who is this asshole?
Oh, no.
So I get everything down, and then I look, and I see, and I go, mm-hmm, sure enough, Tim Tebow. I just pegged Tim Tebow in the head with a carry-on. And I said, I really should stop and apologize to him, but I was so embarrassed. And then it dawned on me, if anybody's going to forgive me,
right?
It's Tim Tebow.
I mean, he has to.
It's like an automatic forgiveness thing, right? You barely even have to apologize to Tim Tebow because he's all full of Jesus and stuff. So I'm sure I'm fine. I'm thinking I'm fine.
Hold. You didn't say anything?
I couldn't.
You could.
I couldn't because he started to like look at the guy next to him like I was out of line. Because I jumped up so quickly in the first place, and then I got so embarrassed once I realized what had happened, and that by that time he wants me out of the way so he can get up out of his seat to get off the plane.
So you didn't say anything.
So I just sort of skulked away. I just sort of put my tail between my leg and my head down. I just sort of backed away and gave him room so he could get off the plane.
So in case there was anyone watching who didn't already think you were a dick for the way you leapt up to get your bag, now they all knew you were a dick when they saw you slink out of the plane.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't slink out of the plane. I slinked back to my seat and let everyone else go ahead of me who was in the aisles, in the rows ahead of me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I took my turn. But I just wanted to get my stuff first, and in retrospect, that my haste caused me to peg Tim Tebow in the head.
But Jesus, right?
But lest he who is without blame stow the first carry-on.
I don't think that's how
it
goes.
I think that's pretty much how it goes in the Bible. So, there you go. There's my assault story.
I'm sorry to dwell on this, but not even a really sorry? Just a word?
He wouldn't.
Hey, sorry.
He wasn't making like eye contact. It was very weird. It was a very odd dynamic. What had happened? Because I didn't like hit him,
and realize that I did to say I'm sorry. So much time had passed after the event before it processed to me what had gone on that by that time I was out of range. It was hard to explain the timetable of how it happened.
Who's the dick?
I already said I was.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Had I known when it happened, I would have actually, I'm so sorry. But it wasn't until I saw him sort of make an eye contact with the guy after the fact that I said, oh, that thump, which I thought was a chair or something, or maybe I just dropped the bag.
Was Kibo's head.
Yes, it all started to fit. The pieces came together for me, but it was like well after the fact.
Oh, that sucks.
And so I was out of range. It wasn't like I was in front of him anymore, and I just didn't know how to handle it. So my bad completely. But and also it was partly the shock of once I knew I hit a guy.
Right.
Then I'm looking at the guy, and then it's Tim Tebow, and now I'm not processing that information. And by the time I got my wits about me, the whole thing, it was over. It was just, everything kind of happened retroactively where I started to put all the pieces together.
You'll be happy to know that Matt is the first to weigh in on the text at 1-800-520-1067. He's from the 562. He says, F Tebow, good job, Ralph.
No, that's not the point
that's
of the story
what Ralph's
at all.
Even saying.
I'm saying it was my bad, but then I handled it poorly on top of the fact after I made the bad.
Right, but Tebow.
But Jesus, I'm figuring. So I'm safe. I just figure I get a pass. Because
do we
Jesus.
Have room for a phone topic tomorrow of you're a dick to a celebrity?
Sure.
I wonder if we could get stories of people who have been in situations like that.
On purpose or on accident?
Either one.
Because Ralph didn't even know he did it.
I really didn't. And I think had I recognized that I did it after the fact like I did, had it been a regular Joe, I probably would have been able to formulate the I'm sorry quicker. But it was on top of the recognition of like, holy crap, that's Tim Tebow.
Trying to get your head around that as well.
Now I'm thinking about that. And literally, by the time I even got my wits together, he was halfway down the aisle
but
of the plane.
But you're cool because
that's what I'm saying, right?
Right?
So I get a pass.
I think so.
Because even if I had said I'm sorry, he probably would have said, rest in peace, my brother, or something. I don't know.
You're forgiven, my son.
Yeah. It would have been a beam of light would have come down, and then something would have happened. My water would have turned into wine. I'm not sure, but I know something would have happened like that. So I'm just figuring I'm good.
Because?
Jesus.
Right. It's my turn. Big fellow, that Tim Tebow.
Is he?
Yeah. Big strapping young man. Baseball player Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I was wondering if he's still in the minor leagues.
I don't know. I don't know why he was going from Orlando to L.A., but... I have no idea.
Hmm.
But there he was, bleeding from the head from my carriage.
Well, you can find out he has a concussion now.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, my God.
No, it was definitely an annoyance tap. It wasn't. Okay, I didn't take his head off right now.
Right, good.
For God's sakes.
He has a press conference tomorrow to announce his retirement, though, because of injuries.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly Ripa is 46 years old today. Speaking of football. Huge Eagles fan. I don't know if you knew that about Kelly.
Didn't
Ripa.
Know that.
Big, she had a good weekend
big,
then.
Big Eagles fan.
Is that right? Yeah.
We all did. Hmm. The StubHub Center was rocking, by the way, with Eagle Green. I just got to tell you.
I got to tell you, it was a Chargers home game, but.
Sure felt like they were in Philadelphia.
The Eagles were louder.
Yeah.
But don't you feel that every Chargers game is a road game now? Because the L.A. fans are not exactly embracing them, and the San Diego fans are too ticked to drive up to see them.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Chargers, quite frankly, in terms of pulling a crowd.
Yeah, so the whole stadium is filling up with whoever's in town. You know it's going to be the Seahawks this weekend at the Rams, same thing. You know right. what I mean? These teams that travel well.
Yeah. Lorraine Bracco, 63 years old today, very talented actress. Singer-songwriter legend Sting is 65, and singer Don McLean, of course, had the smash hit American Pie back in the day. He is 72.
Which
years
we heard
old
all
today.
Of earlier today, so we don't need to hear any of now.
Well, it's so
I had the original. I'll play the original
it's
rather
so,
than make you
so
sing
late,
it.
It's so late now, okay, but I'll hit it the next hour for sure. I'll do it in its entirety, all 7 minutes, on the next Showbiz Beat. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
September 22nd, 2012, Demetrius Johnson won a 5-round split decision over Joseph Benavidez to win the UFC flyweight title. That was over 5 years ago, you guys. Guess what? Still wearing the belt. Demetrius Johnson joins us in studio on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock right now. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
5 years you've been carrying this belt around. No one can take it from you.
Yeah, man. 5 years. Five long, hard years. I'm very, very proud to say that. And let's hope we get another 5 years.
They say it's a lot harder to keep it than it is to win it. Is that true?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, you see it time and time with champions. You know, Luke Rocco got his belt from Chris Weidman. lost in the next time he fought against Michael Bisping, even though I'm a huge fan of Luke Rockhold and Michael Bisping. It was a tough fight. You look at Daniel Cormier, he kept it for a long time, and then he lost it to John Jones, but then they had that whole altercation and failing his drug test. It's very hard, so I'm very grateful to be able to stay healthy and be able to keep it.
Let's talk about John Jones for just a second, because no one was really surprised by his drug test that just came out.
I was.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, I thought this man was – I thought he was clean, man. And at the end of the day, you know, I think Dana White hit on the head, like, you know, people don't – people who don't do, you know, drugs like cocaine, they don't need it, but they still do it. So, I mean, I was just surprised, and I – you know, I'm more for the better good for the guy.
He came in here on our show, though, and could not have been more sincere. And you looked deep into his eyes, and you believed him that he finally had beaten the demon, and he finally had straightened up and flying right, and it wasn't going to happen again. And then it was, womp, 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 here we go all over again. I mean, I can't get my head around why you risk everything like that. When you're fighting for, as we all know, he was fighting for redemption. You know what I mean? He was clearing his name. How did it happen, do you think?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, you know, they're going through all the process to check all the supplements. You know, he believes that it was in one of his supplements, which is it's very well be possible. That's one of the reasons why I don't take supplements, because I don't know what's in them.
You don't take anything?
Don't take anything. Just water, beer.
All right. Water and beer. That's the way to eat right there.
I love it. I love the reactions.
That is so interesting to me, Demetrius, because I would imagine, you know, you guys are professional athletes. You've got to be as finely tuned a machine as is humanly possible. I bet you have people advising you to take stuff. I bet people are always trying to get you to take stuff for your own benefit, right?
No, not at all. I mean, Matt.
Really?
He doesn't really take anything. and I think down the road, you know, I see on it, has been doing really good work. I know a lot of fighters in the UFC have been taking on it. So maybe down the road I might look into that stuff because sometimes I want to, you know.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
On it is basically a nutritional company that does, you know, MCT oil, protein, a lot of, you know, earth-based products, which is cool. So, you know, on it has a lot of athletes on their roster and they've all passed their USADA drug test. So maybe I could look into them, but we'll see what happens.
Do you even take a multivitamin?
I do not.
Not even that.
No.
Just beer, B.
Just beer. You get all your vitamin A, B, C, D, K, and all the beer you want.
That's what I've been telling people my whole life. They're not buying it.
This is great news. So, Demetrius, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
And no one's come close to beating you?
Not that I know of. I mean, there's always tough fights. Fights are fights.
Right, but I mean, you generally win by a TKO or a submission. So I mean, you're basically in control of virtually every fight, and if you don't, you win by decision. Are you going to retire the champion? What's your game plan here, man?
Well, I always tell people the longer you stay in this sport, the less chance you get the chance to retire as a champion. You know, if I were to win this fight, I'm like, I'm done, I'm retired. You know, I retired as a champion. You know,
right.
Retiring at 31, but you know. You know, I'm not making these John Jones paychecks, so I need to keep on fighting. You know, so if I put myself in 5 years, I'll be 36 years old. Who knows what my body's going to be like by then. If I'm the champion, that'd be awesome, but, you know, a dog always has his day.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people have written a lot in the last couple of years about how they feel the UFC undervalues you, that they don't promote you enough. You're one of the greatest champions they've ever had, pound for pound, one of the best fighters that ever lived. Do you feel like you are slighted by the UFC? They should be doing more and should be paying you more than they are.
Well, definitely pay me more. Let's get that out there.
I mean, beer's not cheap.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And I don't drink, you know, I drink, you know, good beer.
Of course. Stout. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, stout. So with that being said, man, you know, that's the one thing that always irks me. You know, each time I meet people around the world, I jump in cabs, I go anywhere, and they realize who I am, they're like, they could do a better job promoting you. But I think they do a good – I mean
– You do.
They put so much emphasis on other fighters who are unbeaten in however long. And usually your record is better than the person that they're touting as the next big thing.
Yeah, so like
– So that's crazy.
Yeah, so like for me to sit here and argue with them when that's your personal opinion, where it's like, dude, they need to market you more. Then I 100% agree with you. They should, you know. And when you have not just, you know – people from all around the world say that. Like when I meet people, they're like, they don't do a good job marketing you. And I'm like, I don't know how to respond.
Why
to
do you think that is? Do you think they just prize size? They like the bigger fighters?
I don't know.
Why? I don't.
You know,
it doesn't make sense. They have a champion who's been a champion for a long time and is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
doesn't that help him? Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking you these questions.
There's a man right there, and his name's Chris Costello. You can ask him. You're coming here. He's
Chris,
PR.
You're not doing a good job.
I know.
Stepping up.
I mean, they're doing a good job right now. We're out here in California doing the media rounds. We're on this beautiful station right here. And, you know, I'm spreading the word, and I've been here for 5 years, and I'm going to keep on spreading the word and keep on putting on great performances.
The guy doesn't even take vitamins.
The fight is going to be at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Now, it is a co-headlining event, UFC 216, right? Do you agree with that? Does that tick you off?
No, not at all. I mean, I had my opportunity to headline at UFC 215. Unfortunately, Ray Borg got sick. You know, this was Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson's card to begin with. This is their main event.
So you're crashing their party.
No, I'm just joining the party.
Okay, join it.
I'm the appetizer. They'll be the main course. They'll be the main event.
What was – I never heard details on what Ray Borg – Ray Borg did not get injured in training or anything like that. He was sick, right?
Yeah, the diagnosis was a viral infection. He was just sick.
Have you fought when you're sick?
Absolutely.
I assume every fighter has fought when they're sick and injured, both.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare a fighter goes in there, you know, not injured. But like when I fought Kyojo Horiguchi in Montreal, everything I ate came out the other end.
Oh, no.
I would literally eat something. Oh. And it's like, you know, usually when you're sick, you eat something that goes, oh, my tummy's not feeling well.
Right.
2 hours later, you go. No, for me, it was literally, like, I'll have a great, but I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go.
Food in, food out.
Yeah, it was literally like that.
It just didn't even slow down?
Didn't even slow down, literally. Like, I would have, like, a big, and my coach like, dude, you're sick. And the UFC goes, hey, we need you to do some media. I'm like, I'm not getting out of bed.
Wow.
Or you're not going to have a main event. And then eventually about around Wednesday night, maybe Thursday morning, I came around, did the media, and I made weight, and I went out there fighting.
Were you thinking of... Am I going to be able to do this?
Yes.
Because I imagine you can't be energetic.
I was
not energetic.
I remember yelling at the UFC. I was like, come over here now. I'm about to take this. I was going to take Tylenol. They're like, no, don't do it. I'm like, it's freaking Tylenol. I have a headache. I'm sick. I'm taking it. She goes, yo, Pop. Here, take Advil and sit. I'm like, oh, my God. Really, Advil? They sat there watching. I'm like, I'm going back to my room. Goodbye. And then, you know, then literally made weight and then went out there fighting. I remember fighting. I was like, I don't want to be here right now.
Wow.
But we pulled through. We got the arm bar. And we got the check.
Did you wear a diaper that night, Demetrius?
No. By then, the flow.
Were you worried about that?
No. By then, the flow. But I remember, like, after the fight.
I'm sorry. By then, the flow. I don't want to hear
about the flow.
I want to hear the end of that sentence.
By then, everything was good.
Okay, good. All right. UFC 216, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. You can, of course, watch it on pay-per-view this Saturday. It's so many questions for our guest. Demetrius Johnson is here. And by the way, if you haven't heard, I'm very excited for this next segment, Demetrius, and here's why. There may be people listening right now who don't know what your awesome plan is for your post-MMA career. And I think they're going to be blown away when they hear what you're doing semi-professionally now, but soon to be professionally all the way. It's a fascinating thing, and we'll talk about it next year on K-Rock. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. He knows more about beer than I know about anything, by the way.
That was
crazy listening to you talk during that song, Demetrius. Before we talk about the thing that I want to talk about, which is your backup career after MMA, is it true that you're sitting at home at 18 years old watching The Ultimate Fighter, and that's where the light bulb went off over your head? You hadn't ever thought about fighting before, but then you said, hey, that looks like fun. I want to try that.
100% true. I was literally home from school, and I remember seeing Rashad Evans, and I remember back in the time they had to do challenges to be able to pick and choose who you're going to fight. And I remember Rashad Evans hitting his bag up on a hill, and I was like, man, they look like they can fight. They got a good workout. So ever since then, I went to the gym, started hitting the bag, and voila, here we are today.
You played a bunch of different sports in high school, I assume?
Yeah, I did wrestling, track, cross country, football. Basketball. I mean, I was a multi-sport athlete in high school and in middle school. But I really love wrestling because I play football, then we'll lose the game. And I'm like, well, that was funny. I had no contribution to this, and I'm still getting
booed. That makes sense, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when it came to wrestling, I was like, I can work out as hard as I want.
And it's all on my shoulders.
It's all on my shoulders, you know? So that really that gravitated me to that sport.
So if there hadn't been a UFC for you to stumble into, I wonder what you would have grown up and been.
I'll probably be in a warehouse somewhere.
That's not as good.
No, absolutely not. I also got, you know, with UFC, it's able me to provide a life that I can never fathom a living. It's giving me a life to be able to buy nice things and give my children a place to grow up and things I didn't have growing up.
So, now, you told us before that you used to work out, I don't know, an hour away from your home, and you used to go there and sleep on a couch. I found that a little sad. Like, why are you sleeping on a couch?
You know, and then...
And that couch is nasty.
It's a very nasty couch, yeah. I think it has Ebola. I think if we took it to the hospital, they'd be like, that thing needs to be in a hazardous waste. That's what I think it would be.
You don't still do that, right?
I don't do that anymore. Okay. No. Right. I mean, I still go up to the gym. I don't like sleeping between training sessions now because I have children. But if I had kids, I would try to get a nap in and then go home and chill and go to bed. But so no more naps, play video games between training session, and that couch is still there, believe it or not.
All right. Now that leads us into video games. A lot of people don't know this, but Demetrius Johnson is a Twitcher and a streamer extraordinaire. And you are not only doing it for entertainment, I mean, you are committed to this kind of as your post-MMA career, right?
Absolutely. You know, we just built another house and we got my own studio room. I just ordered a beautiful 8x12 green screen I'm going to put on the wall. I got a Rode NT microphone. I got a sound board. So when I see, you know, the technician over there doing the levels and moving up, boosting my mic, I know all about that stuff. So I'm very excited about this career path of mine. I've been a huge gamer since I was a child, and now to be able to pursue this career as another opportunity to make a living.
It's so odd that that's considered a career that you could pursue.
Well, yeah.
I know that it has been for a little while, but still, I think parents at least would be surprised to hear that that's actually a thing, a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, I had a way bigger jump than a lot of other streamers did because obviously I'm, you know, a mixed martial artist. I'm a professional athlete, so I have a following already. But to give viewers a different part of my life that I'm actually truly passionate about,
right?
You know, it's not fake. It's what I love to do, and I get to interact with my fans on that platform. It gives me a warm feeling in my heart.
Now, there's the novelty factor, if you will, and I don't mean that to be dismissive of people tuning in to see the celebrity that they know play. But at some point, you have to be good, really good, to be able to exist in that environment years down the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's two different worlds you're talking about. So right now, I'm in that entertainment world where I'm interacting with the fans on a different level. And then there's another side of it where it's called esports athletes. And it's funny because a lot of the esports athletes, they don't have a great personality. They're not very charismatic. They're not very very sociable people because they spent, you know, hours and hours and hours in front of a DM.
They're just basically silent.
They're basically silent playing video games all the time. Yeah, exactly. So when I go to a Twitch stream, I'll see a guy play, and I'm looking more for the interact. I'm looking for entertainment. And then there's guys who don't entertain, and they have like 8,000 people, and then I get bored. I'm like, dude, like, you keep on saying the same thing and all that stuff, to where I come in to where I kind of give a different, you know, outlook. And I think everybody on Twitch, there's so many different broadcasters that...
Now, this is interesting to me because you are not known as a big smack talker in the Octagon.
No.
How about as a streamer? Are you doing some smack talking with the other gamers?
100%. 100%. I like running people over all the time. Like, I will literally play the game. I'm like, all right, guys, you guys ever seen the movie called Maximum Overdrive? It's an old movie. Cars go crazy, vehicles go crazy, and just run people over. I will literally just run six people over just to laugh so hard.
Why are you like that in your gaming life but not in UFC?
Because it's different. I don't know. It's just different. Like, I don't know what, you know, that's one thing that one of my coaches love about me is that I can truly see that gaming brings out a different side of you that you're truly passionate about. Like, when I started streaming on Twitch, you know, there was no income coming in at all. Like,
right.
I just love playing video games.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I get my first on-call casting, you know, at TwitchCon coming up here pretty soon in Long Beach. I'm looking forward to that. And it's able to turn something into just like mixed martial arts. I enjoyed it and I was having fun with it. And now, look, I'm making, you know, millions of dollars doing what I love. So.
Isn't it so funny, Kevin, that most of the gamers who trash talk in a million years would never be able to back it up? You know what I mean?
True.
They only do it because the other people are anonymous and they'll never meet them. Demetrius is a guy who's used to saying things out loud and then proving that he can back it up.
Yeah.
That is a fascinating one-two punch of your careers. Now, before we let you go, again, T-Mobile Arena Las Vegas this Saturday night. The co-main event is Johnson versus Borg, flyweight title fight. You're going to win this one, and you're going to win a couple more. How long are you going to go, Demetrius? What do you think? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? What?
Five years. I give myself five more years. You know, like I said, I'm already working on my other transition out of this career into streaming, but I give myself five more years. Why not? You know, might as well milk this body for everything it's got. be 37 years old, then I don't have to worry about going back to working at Costco and all that stuff. I can just focus on my gaming career, spend time with my kids. When they're starting to do their athletic career, I could be part of it.
That's a hell of a plan.
That's an awesome plan.
I'm working hard at it, man.
I love it.
Well, we have been telling you for years that you are one of our very favorite fighters in the game, man. We always root for you. We always see your fights, and we love it when you stop by the Kevin Bean Show to visit. So good luck. Have a great weekend, man.
Appreciate you guys, too.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Raquel Dominguez from Upland, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show a few minutes ago, pulled in and won tickets for Cal Jam 17. By the way, I don't think this Cal Jam 17 is getting the love it deserves.
Agreed.
Foo Fighters, Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Liam Gallagher, Royal Blood, and more. It's all happening this Saturday at Glen Helen Regional Park. Tickets are on sale now. We've got them for you all week long here on K-Rock. And in addition to those, Raquel also picks up a pair of tickets to join us for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters.
What?
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That'll be Tuesday morning here on K-Rock. Breakfast with Foo Fighters.
We're doing Breakfast with Foo Fighters?
Yes. That's what I heard. I heard that on the air this morning.
Oh! That's so good.
Your chance to win. Keep listening to K-Rock.
Oh.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Love Foo Fighters.
Same.
They're just the best. Let me tell you how good they are. They were recently back in Stockholm, Sweden. And they went on a talk show there. Frederick Skavlan. You know, the Skavlan.
Sure, the Skavlan show. Night.
Skavlan. Sweden. He's got a talk show there.
Right.
And so the Taylor and Dave show up, and they're hanging out, and they're talking. And it's fascinating. They're always just – there are some people in this industry who are asked a billion questions, and they act like it. They just – everything is a chore, and every time they answer you, they just feel like you're just pulling information out of them. These guys – charming, chatty, just could not be a better interview. So they're talking about the new album, which is awesome, by the way. And they talk about the fact that they have a guest drummer on one of the tracks of their show, of their album, a guy named Paul McCartney. And so how do you get Paul McCartney to play drums on your song? That's just, how does that happen?
You don't, is my answer.
Right, that's what I would think. But they're asking about it, and here is Dave saying he just texted him, said, hey, you want to drum on our song?
And then I saw him again. And he said, well, when do you want to do it? And that's when I realized that he was really into it. And I said, well, whenever you want to do it, you know, that's. And so then we just set the date, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and he came in, and he there were 5 drum sets in the room, and he brought his own drum set.
And so what's it like when Paul McCartney's playing drums for you? Because here's the great thing I love about Dave, is he's such a fan of music, and especially the history of rock music, as much as he is a legend, right? So when he's seeing Paul McCartney in the studio with him, he never gets over that thrill of having Paul McCartney in the studio with him, which is just awesome.
You know, I've never seen him play the drums. And you're used to seeing him on piano or on guitar or bass, whatever. But to see him play the drums, it's great because you can see the same kid that was learning how to play guitar, listening to early rock and roll in his bedroom, you know?
He said he was just having the time of his life playing drums for the Foo Fighters. How fun is that?
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's a great story. One more clip, real quick. Because they were in Stockholm, remember what happened last time Foo Fighters were in Stockholm? Anything ring a bell?
Is that where he broke his leg?
Yeah. That's when he fell off the stage and shattered his leg.
And his ankle, both.
And his ankle.
Yeah.
But Dave being Dave got up on stage and had the doctor holding his leg still to keep the bones from rubbing against each other while he continued to play.
Because he broke it after like 2 or 3 songs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Madness.
Yes, madness.
Madness. So they're on this show, and to their credit, the producers of the show bring out the doctor from that night.
Oh, that's awesome.
And reunite them live on the stage. And they talked about that, and Dave was funny. He talks about what it was like to play on stage while a guy held immobilized your leg, kneeling next to you, holding onto your leg while you played.
I remember your face perfectly because you were just like this. But then sometimes, like during some songs, we'd, you know, at first I don't know how you felt, but I was like, yes. And then, if you know, you were really still. And then maybe after a couple songs, you started going.
His head started. He started to just like bounce along with the music.
That's funny.
So you can catch that on YouTube. It's a great, great interview.
What a weird gig to hold Dave Grohl's leg while he performs.
And the guy admits, it's funny because I'd never heard the doctor talking before, that he's a huge Foo Fighters fan.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So he said, it was the luckiest day of my life, actually, to be right there watching you play up close. And he said, I was kind of glad you didn't want to go to the hospital because I wanted to see the rest of the concert. So he got it all. It's a charming interview. So
These folks that are going to win these tickets for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters for next Tuesday, it's less than 200 people in the room.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
It is going to be so much fun. It always is when those guys come.
Absolutely. It's a Monday. We like to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in the theaters. It... Number one again, $17.3 million. I think it was this past week and maybe just the end of last week, it crossed the $500 million in box office worldwide.
Did you say half a billion?
Yeah. Cost $35 million to make. Maybe another 15, 20 for promotions. Still a pretty good return on your investment.
I'm going to say it was successful.
You're going, wow, Bean, you're going to get some feedback. So people are come at you when you take that kind of stand. American Made, the new Tom Cruise movie, was second at the box office with $17 million. Then Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Lego Ninjago, Flatliners debuted at number five. Battle of the Sexes, American Assassin, Home Again, Till Death Do Us Part, and Mother. Your top 10 films at the box office. At times of bad news like today, everybody can use a little good news, so I want to announce right now that Sarah Jessica Parker has announced there will not be a Sex in the City third movie. She said there's no chance of that happening.
Yay!
Kids are happy.
It's over. She said we're not doing it. So apparently there was some rumor that they were going to make that third film, but she said it's never going to happen. So I just wanted to give people just a little silver lining to their clouds today.
Ralph, did you hear the story that I heard that one of the actresses would not sign up for the second one unless there was a guarantee there wouldn't be a third one?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it was Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall, yeah. How funny is that? Okay, I'll do the sequel, but you have to promise.
It's got to be the end of it. We've got to let this go.
So we, as a nation, we owe her a lot of thanks.
Yes, absolutely. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Ripa, TV talk show host, is 46 years old today. Lorraine Bracco turns 63. Sting is 65. And singer-songwriter Don McLean celebrates his 72nd birthday today. Don McLean, best known, of course, for his legendary song, American Pie.
We all know.
No, it's not.
I like orange juice.
Nothing to do with orange
Thank you.
Juice.
This
is his song.
Juice? No. Tomato juice? No. Carrot juice? No.
American Pie?
Orange juice.
Yes.
Orange juice. Orange juice.
By popular demand,
orange juice.
Kevin Bean listeners
orange juice.
Have requested that I sing American Pie in its entirety as we celebrate Don McLean's birthday, and who am I to say no to what the people want? So,
Mango juice?
Yeah, come on.
No.
This is not.
Milk?
Milk?
No.
What?
No,
be ridiculous.
No. Orange juice.
Right. Orange juice. Okay, enough of the shenanigans. Let's get to the serious business.
This is the serious business.
American Pie.
Okay. Orange juice.
Turn that off.
I like orange juice.
Sorry, we're out of time. Still plenty of time left.
I made sure
to leave enough time. A long,
hey,
long
on your drive
time
home today.
Ago,
come on now.
I can still remember how that
we don't have. This is the longest song ever.
Time for another guest.
But I knew if I had my chance,
Alvin Hagen,
that I could
I'm
make
David
those people
Pumpkins,
dance,
and I'm gonna and scare the hell out of you.
Any
question?
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
All right, okay.
Drove my Chevy
to
the levee,
it's a shame.
But the levee was dry.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. I got to talk about tomorrow now.
Do it. Go ahead. I'll tomorrow just sing morning, over here and you talk. Okay.
Okay?
Let's see how that goes.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, author Brad Meltzer. From the L.A. Kings, Drew Doughty will be in studio. And we've got your tickets for Breakfast with Foo Fighters tomorrow morning as well.